Les invités du podcast Diptyque sont artistes, galeristes, curateurs, conservateurs de musées. Certains d'entre eux me sont très familiers parce que nos routes se croisent depuis la création du magazine en 2009. D'autres me sont inconnus. Sur le mode de la conversation, j'essaie de capter ce qui fait la particularité de mon invité et je vous offre ainsi avec ce podcast un portail intime et unique sur les acteurs de l'art contemporain arabe et africain. Le podcast Diptyque vous est offert avec le soutien du groupe Maroc Télécom, partenaire de l'art et de la création. Chers auditeurs du podcast Diptyque, bonjour. Aujourd'hui, je reçois Marwan Zakem.
Bonjour.
Bonjour Marwan. Marwan est galeriste, il est anglo-libanais, il a ouvert à Accra, au Ghana, en 2016, la galerie 1957. Nous connaissons depuis un certain temps, nous nous sommes rencontrés à la Biennale de Dakar en 2018, où nous avions notamment, c'est là que j'avais un petit peu compris aussi, l'esprit dans lequel travaillait Marwan. On avait visité l'atelier de son artiste Gottfried Doncor, si je me souviens bien. Et j'ai réalisé à ce moment-là que Marwan, son projet de galerie, c'était quelque chose de très différent de tout ce que j'avais pu voir auparavant. Et Marwan, bonjour.
Bonjour, merci Marianne.
Alors l'épisode va être bilingue. Moi, je vais poser mes questions en français et Marwan, il va faire comme il veut, répondre en français ou en anglais. Je crois qu'il se sent plus à l'aise
ça
pour répondre
en anglais.
Voilà. Alors, j'aimerais bien que tu nous expliques, Marwan, dans quel esprit tu as fondé cette galerie au Ghana? Comment un ingénieur libanais qui parcourait l'Afrique avec des projets, si je suis bien renseignée, c'était plus des projets dans le domaine de la logistique et des hydrocarbures, se retrouve finalement à monter une galerie? Et tu vas nous dire par la même occasion pourquoi elle porte ce nom. Bon, c'est écrit un peu dans tous les textes qui concernent la galerie, mais c'est bien si tu nous le rappelles.
Oui, merci. So, Miriam, it's very simple. I am an engineer. Yeah. I went to Africa in the early 2000s to set up my company, which worked in heavy industrial pipelines, roads, bridges, buildings. But I started, my first country that I went to was Senegal, by the way. So that was in 2000. And when I got to Africa, I started collecting very quickly. I never was interested in art, but for some reason, I think the Africa aesthetic appealed to me, not just in the paintings, but in the clothes, in the music. Everywhere I walked, I was inspired. So I started collecting, and as you probably know and spoken to many collectors, collecting snowballs. So you start very little, you start at things that appeal to you, and then quickly it became a hobby and then an obsession, I would say. And in all my travels around Africa, I would pretty much stay in hotels. And if you know, in Africa, all hotels displayed public art because they were the only places that had these large walls.
Yeah.
So I was exposed to a lot of art. I began to collect it. And then when I moved to Ghana in 2003, my collecting went to a different level because I started to follow artists in general. I started to commission paintings. I started to get to know, do studio visits, get to know their works. And this continued for a very long time. When I was building the hotel in 2016,
In Accra,
yeah. I decided that I want to showcase my works, my collection, in the public spaces of the hotel. But in order to do that, I decided to showcase the young talent, people like Ibrahim Mahama, Serge Atakwe-Clotty, Yao
Ibrahim
Wusu.
Was young at this time.
He was very young.
But
he's still young now.
Yeah,
he's 32 years old.
But he's a superstar.
So this was 8 years ago, and what led me to start the gallery was these great artists, they gained their inspiration in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them had to leave and go to New York or Berlin or wherever it may be in order to find fame, in order to be able to have a sustainable career, leaving their families, leaving their places of inspiration, and then going out and then having to get success and then coming back to their place. So I decided if I can, I would set up a gallery that acted semi like a museum, as an institution or a foundation that gave them the ability to have the resources and the platform to stay in their country, create the works, and then we would do the rest by selling it on a platform in an international level.
Oui, parce que j'imagine qu'au moment où tu as monté la galerie, tout le monde s'est demandé pourquoi tu ne la montais pas plutôt à Londres, où se situe, on est dans les débuts aussi, le début de la 154. Donc évidemment, les collectionneurs autour de toi ont dû te dire, mais enfin, ça n'a aucun sens de la monter au Ghana, va monter ta galerie à Londres. Donc en fait, derrière, tu avais aussi l'intention peut-être de créer quelque chose au sein de la scène ghanéenne et de développer peut-être aussi des collections locales et l'interaction entre une galerie, un monde artistique, une école et des collectionneurs. Est-ce que tu peux nous raconter comment ça a été compris?
100%, 100%. When I started the gallery and I was speaking to everybody, when I was forming it, everybody said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Start the gallery in London, start it in New York, because nobody is going to buy in Ghana. And I said, that's exactly why I'm not going to do it in London or New York. And I'm going to do it in Ghana to try and evolve and to inspire and to help this younger generation become collectors. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have an ecosystem, a local ecosystem supporting the artists, they will never thrive. They will never have sustainable careers, and they will never be independent and inspire the next generation. That was important. And so I looked at it as more, as I said, not just a commercial entity, but something that we are building a community there. So we started with the residents, where we invited artists to come from all over Africa that needed the support, fully funded, accommodations, whatever, and gave them the ability to nurture their practice until they became stars, hopefully. And then we did a lot of the fairs. We did 154. Turia was a huge supporter, one of the earliest supporters of my gallery. And she came out, and obviously I respected that. And ever since, we've been doing 154 London, New York. We did Paris as well in the COVID times. And now this is our first time that we're doing Marrakesh. As you know, I love Marrakesh. I come to Marrakesh, but I like coming as a collector, as a friend, as a supporter. But this year we're proud to come because we bought probably the most established trailblazer, superstar, artist, and I'm not going to say he's an African, but he's a contemporary international star, Amoako Boafo. So I'm very proud that for our first presentation, we're bringing Amoako, we're also bringing Zanelli Mahuli, who's another superstar from the continent, a South African photographer, sculptor, multimedia artist, and the young Rita Benison, which is another incredible artist who has her first institutional show coming up at Zeit Smoker. So it's a very strong presentation. And we're very proud of having that here.
Alors j'aimerais bien maintenant que tu m'expliques qu'est-ce qui fait la spécificité du Ghana, parce que on est tous en train de regarder le Ghana à la loupe, de se dire ok, le Ghana, il y avait Okwi, il y a Osei Bonzu, il y avait ce fameux pavillon à la Biennale de Dakar en 2018, je crois, ou 2019 et 2021. Voilà. Le fameux avec Ibrahim Mahama.
Oui.
Et qu'est-ce qui fait la spécificité du Ghana? Est-ce qu'il y a une école spéciale? Est-ce que c'est quoi ce terreau ghanéen qui fait que tu as le Ghana, tu as aussi un petit peu le Nigeria, mais qui sont un peu des exceptions quand même régionales? Et je pense que tu l'as perçu très tôt, c'est pour ça que tu as eu cette intuition qu'il fallait créer à l'intérieur du Ghana, amener le monde au Ghana et pas faire sortir le Ghana, même si ça va dans les deux sens. Mais quelle est la spécificité du Ghana? Qu'est-ce qui se passe là-bas?
It's a hard question to answer, but obviously I thought that there was a lot of talent in Ghana, no doubt. It was there. It was already there. It needed to. But the thing that sets Ghana apart is all of the great artists that have come in the last. Ibrahim Mahama has led it, Serge Atukwe-Kloti, Amoako Boafo, Kwesi Botchwe, all of these have given back to their communities. They have started artist-led residences. They have mentored and given free help to all of the young artists, put them on their shoulders and walk
and
with them.
And they share the same idea that you told
they
me.
Share all, they share, it's incredible. They are not just artists, they are activists, they are politicians, they are educators. What Ibrahim Mahama has done in Tamale, not even in Accra. Tamale is his home state.
Right.
It's a two-hour plane ride away from Accra. He has built over four institutions there. Museum quality, the SCCA Tamale. It's incredible. It creates, it brings everybody. He's redeveloping the railways, the old discarded airplanes that he's bringing them. He's teaching generations of young for free. Generations of young schools, boys and girls, and it's just incredible to see how they inspire. Everybody is inspiring everybody.
Donc il y a une dimension d'activisme un peu. Yeah. Il y a une dimension activiste. Hein?
So everybody, I mean, so one of the reasons again that I go back to I did it in Ghana is because I wanted to bring people to Ghana to see the talent. Because if you come and see somebody, as you know, when you travel to Senegal and you go to somebody's studio and you see their practice and you see how they're helping helping their community, how they have their assistance, how they have their inspiration, how the people are proud of them, you would understand why I wanted to bring everybody. So every year in Ghana, we do a culture week. It's like an art fair. We invite and we host up to 100.
I need to go there.
Yes, you have to come. Really, you're going to love it. I think I've invited you many times.
C'est en quelle période?
Cette année, ça va être la fin d'octobre. So the last week of October. So put it in your diary.
It's booked already. Yeah.
So I think Ghana has something special. It's at the moment, everybody wants to come and visit Ghana. Yeah. In our hotel in Ghana, every single month we have some institution, some large museum, some incredible gallery.
Yes, because something is happening in Ghana.
It's like the young British, the movement of the 80s, mm-hmm. when you had the Damien Hirst, the Tracy Eminem. All of these people were doing something creative, but they were inspired by each other. Right. They weren't competitive. They were working together. And when you have a figurehead like Amoako Bafo and Ibrahim Mahama with White Cube, Amoako with Gagosian, Serge Atapay-Clotty with Simon Lee Gary, all of these, Gideon Appa with Pace, another great artist of ours that has come through. There is really something going on, magical.
Mais est-ce qu'il y a des collectionneurs au Ghana? Des collectionneurs privés?
Ça, c'est une autre chose. I would think, if anything that has taken the most time, or the hardest to do, is being able to have a sustainable collector base in Ghana. Nigeria, Egypt, South Africa, those are the three kind of countries that really have a dynamic. Morocco as well, I have to say, have a lot of great collectors. I don't know it that well, but the ones that I seem to know are quite, you probably know.
Yeah.
But Ghana, still, every single year, we add another 3 or 4 or 5. So it's slow progress, but it's getting there. But the more that we have these artists working and creating there, it's inspiring. At the moment, the Ghanaians and a lot of the Africans who are coming into money or being well-to-do are spending it on maybe other things, on second homes, on cars, on watch, which is normal. But the culture aspect is coming. And they're beginning to understand that buying art really gives you a pleasure that a watch cannot or a car cannot. And that's a psychological, it takes time.
Il y a une autre chose qui fonctionne très bien au Ghana, c'est les leviers qui permettent aux artistes ghanéens d'être présents dans les grands rendez-vous internationaux comme la Biennale de Venise, la Biennale de Dakar. Il y a des leviers très importants qui permettent aussi aux grands artistes ghanéens d'avoir aussi une galerie internationale qui les place au plus haut niveau dans des institutions, etc. Et ça, comment fonctionnent ces leviers? Quelle est ta lecture de ce fonctionnement comme ça, local, très vivace, hein, que tu nous décris, mais aussi la respiration avec ces événements internationaux.
I'm not exactly sure what the question was, but I think what I'm understanding is about the fact that all of these artists are now represented by outside galleries, mm-hmm. and they've been able to.
Yeah, to be also showcased in Venice.
Well, I mean, I think it happened because of the fact that we were able. In general, these 3 or 4 great artists were on an international level that have gained success and now are represented by some of the best galleries in the world. As I said, as I mentioned before, I mentioned 4 or 5, but there are many of them. And I think that once you see these artists in New York, in Gagosian, or in Pace Gallery, you no longer look at them as African artists.
Yes,
you look at them as
artists.
International contemporary artists. And that's been, and the person who's really been able to break down that wall has been Amoako Bafo.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that his prices have been sustainably very high, even throughout the dip and everything, going for millions. And for a creator in Accra, I think that's incredible. That's allowed people to see, because before, if you showed an African artist to a Western collector and you priced him the same as a Western artist, they would look at you and they go, what? But he's African.
Alors j'ai besoin que tu m'expliques justement comment se fabrique ce pricing extraordinaire, parce que ça, c'est le miracle du Ghana, il est là-dedans aussi. Il est dans cette fabrication du prix qui est très dense, qui est très, qui suit un process très complexe et très technique, la fabrication du prix. Mais en fait, je ne vois pas l'équivalent. L'équivalent se produit sur certains artistes sénégalais quand ils rejoignent, mettons, une grande galerie comme la galerie Daniel Templon. Comment on fait pour... faire un fois 10.
Pricing is a,
ça, on a besoin de Zakem pour comprendre ça.
Oui, non, mais ça c'est un peu difficile. There's not a formula.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that, for instance, in my booth that I have here, we have a marker who's is three figures that we're selling, and the others are 10 to 15,000, 20,000. So prices are a product of what the market demands. And obviously what their secondary market also has. Amoako has a secondary market. His price point goes from 400,000 to 2 million or whatever it may be. Some others don't have that. So you have to just judge what somebody is willing to pay for it. You don't want to always extend it. You want to try and keep within the parameters that make it affordable, that it can go to great collections. And then obviously if it takes off, then it takes off. Ghana has had a lot of artists that have risen very, very quickly. And sometimes I'm not saying that's a very good thing. You know, I don't think it's the best. I mean, some of the prices went up exceptionally high and now are coming back to the ground. So you have to be careful with the way you price it. But you have to think that in the last 3 years, 2019, since I met you, 2019 to 2022, 2023, there was a rush to buy African artists, contemporary African artists, and especially portrait artists. That was the new trend. Everybody was buying these artists no matter what. Everybody was thinking, this is the next Amoako, there's Kwesi Botchwe, Otis Kweko, everybody. And so whether that's a good thing or not, it's not for me to decide.
Yes.
People were willing to pay that money. Do you know what I'm saying? And people were there not just because they wanted to buy the contemporary African artist, because they wanted it on their wall, but they wanted to make money. They thought they'd buy it, and then they would sell it, and then they would put it in auctions or whatever. And so that was something that has caused a little bit of alarm, that has caused some of the people's markets to collapse.
Right.
So it's a very sensitive, important issue.
Yeah. Et justement, est-ce que tu ressens pas là peut-être un infléchissement? Alors évidemment, ceux qui sont installés à ces prix, maintenant, il y a une spéculation autour de leurs œuvres, etc. Mais est-ce que tu sens pas que là, il va y avoir peut-être une demande davantage sur les peintres abstraits? Et surtout, la recherche peut-être des artistes modernes, modernistes, qui parfois n'ont pas eu... Est-ce qu'il y a une scène moderne des années 50 au Ghana qui demande à aller chercher des estates intéressants? Est-ce qu'il y a ça au Ghana?
I think there's a rotation.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
I mean,
we all know
but don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one person that thinks that portrait artist is finished.
No, I
think
ça va se nettoyer.
C'est ça. There's a flight to quality. Yeah, people are being a little bit, but that's in general and everything. Abstract art is having its moments. Sculptures having the moment. Everybody's having it's. This is life. There are cycles. There's dips and ups and downs. Not every single artist that has succeeded at a certain age is going to continue succeeding. There will be new artists coming through. I think Ghana, with regards to the modernists that you're talking about, it doesn't have what Nigeria or the North Africans have. Like you have the School of Casablanca here.
Sudan
as well. Ibrahim Salahi, all of those. Nigeria, Benamemu, all of those. They have a modernist structure. Accra, Ghana, has been able to make its mark on the contemporary art scene.
Yes.
They are the one lifting everything. Remember, we have Anatsuyi as well, Professor Anatsuyi, who even before Ibrahim Mahama, and he was the first million-dollar artist coming out of Ghana, although his practice was in Nigeria for all his life. So I think that's where Ghana has the advantage to all the other African countries.
Et la nature, j'ai vu sa magnifique installation à Tate.
Oui, à la Tate maintenant.
Exceptionnel.
Oui.
Parce qu'en fait, il faut voir aussi que les artistes ghanéens, ils sont très bien représentés dans les institutions anglo-saxonnes, anglaises, américaines. C'est aussi ce qui permet d'installer le pricing, comme on expliquait tout à l'heure. Ça joue aussi beaucoup.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the Americans drive the market.
Yes.
60% or 65% of our collectors are from America. At the end of the day, a lot of them are still the biggest collectors, followed by Europe, followed by Asia, and then comes Africa. That's how it is. The Asian market now is very strong.
Alors, est-ce que tu as certains de tes artistes qu'on va pouvoir voir à la Biennale de Dakar, Biennale de Venise cette année?
Au Venise, non, I don't think so. Ghana is not doing the. Is not doing.
Ils n'ont pas leur pavillon national.
But I want to talk about Rita Benison. Because she's going to be in the Dakar Biennale.
Uh-huh.
She's going to be also doing her first solo exhibition in Zeitz Museum in Zeitz Mocha in South Africa, in Cape Town, in November. And then the Sharjah Biennale early next year.
Next week.
So this is an artist, before you start asking me which artist, I'm not going to respond, but ouais. I'm going to say this is an artist that we've been working with for a year and a half. She's been doing a residency. This is her second residency now. She did a solo show with us in Accra, and we are now working towards the Dakar Biennale and the. And she did the Dakar Biennale as well 2 years ago.
Oui.
You might have, I don't know if you know, the umbrellas.
Oui, the work. Yes.
So we have some of her works here. They have been exceptionally well received. I cannot tell you how well received they have been. So I'm very proud of her. She's a really great young lady, and I think she's going to have a great career. So I would say that for your viewers, oui. If they wanted a tip of a young, emerging artist. Yeah.
This one in Dakar. Donc notre agenda, là, c'est Dakar. Bon, bah, Venise, on ira voir les présences. Il y a beaucoup d'artistes modernes dans l'exposition générale. And then October in Ghana.
October
obviously.
In Ghana, for sure. You have to come for the Culture Week. We will do something.
Oui.
You will do a nice exposé
we
for us.
We will do maybe a special issue.
Yeah, you do. No, you
to
should.
To let people know what's happening in Accra.
I think a lot. I think it's an important thing to do.
We have to document a little bit more what you have just explained in this very interesting interview.
You will enjoy it, Mariam, I think. Definitely.
Ce qui m'intéresse évidemment beaucoup, c'est de comprendre cette modélisation que tu as expliquée et qui est très intéressante. Ibrahima Amaï, je l'ai rencontré à Madagascar au moment de l'inauguration de la Fondation H. Il a donné un talk lequel il a très bien expliqué ce que tu expliquais tout à l'heure, à savoir que lui, en plus, son travail, justement, c'est de parler de la circulation de la matière dans le contexte post-colonial. Et il est hors de question que tous les capitaux partent à l'extérieur d'un pays alors qu'il dénonce justement cette circulation nord-sud qui n'est pas équitable. Donc il veut que tout revienne, que ce qui part du Ghana revienne au Ghana. Merci beaucoup Marwan, c'était
Mariam,
passionnant,
c'est
super.
Okay.
Et on se voit toute l'année. À bientôt.
Thank you.
Au revoir. Un immense merci à notre invité d'avoir pris part au podcast Diptyque et un grand merci à vous, chers auditeurs, pour votre soutien continu. Si cet épisode vous a captivé, nous serions ravis d'entendre vos impressions sur Apple Podcasts, sur Spotify et sur toutes les plateformes de podcast. N'hésitez pas à le partager avec vos amis. Le podcast Diptyque est rendu possible grâce au généreux soutien de Maroc Télécom. Il est produit par Aros Konpoyo, montage assuré par Simo Bakrim. Diptyque est le magazine de référence de l'art contemporain africain. Il est produit, publié et imprimé à Casablanca, au Maroc. Vous trouvez le dernier numéro en kiosque partout au Maroc. Mais surtout, n'oubliez pas de vous abonner à la newsletter hebdomadaire online sur www.diptyquemag.com. À bientôt pour le prochain épisode.